Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'd a warm welcome to you this morning. It's wonderful that we can be meeting here in the sunshine in September. So a warm welcome to Oak Hall Church this morning. We're going to begin by singing a song that has echoed through the last century that speaks of God being wonderful, and it speaks of him being the God behind creation, but also the God who humbled himself even to death on a cross so that we could be living forever in relationship with him. Should we stand together to sing, O Lord My God?
is my soul, my Savior God to thee.
Stay standing. Lord Jesus, we've sung these words. You, the one through whom everything was made, the one who was with God, the one who is God, and yet you laid aside your majesty, your glory, to walk among us, to die on a cross, to rise from the dead, so that people like even us could come into relationship with the Father. Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning we would have our eyes fixed on you, that you would honor your name as we share this morning together. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's take a seat together. A very warm welcome to you again this morning. It's wonderful that we can be sharing this morning together. We've got all sorts of exciting things happening in our church family these days. Perhaps you could switch over to this one, Pete. Thank you. One of the things about being such a large and growing church family is that we have to print a newspaper now every month. So as you came in, you would have received the August news. And so please thumb through September. You're joking. Is it September already? I thought we were about to go on our summer holidays. Thanks for that. Okay, so our September news, and we're going to be able to pray for each other through this month as this month unfolds. Now, we have got something very important to celebrate this morning. I thought she's only 35, but she's a little bit older. It's Judith Batty, and it's her birthday today. So we want to say a big happy birthday to Judith. Jenny's got you some flowers right here. So with love from all of us, happy birthday. I think a big round of applause. Do come and say happy birthday personally to Judith as well over our teas and coffees afterwards. If you're here visiting for the first time, perhaps you've just moved into Caterham in the summer, and we're really glad that you've come and dropped in to visit us this morning. You can see we're a growing family, and you'd be very welcome as a part of this church family. Please come and say hi to one of the team and just tell us that you've just moved into town. And we'd love to just tell you a bit more about the small groups and what it means to really be engaged with life here at Oak Hall Church. Perhaps you're visiting family and down here for the end of the summer. Well, we're really glad that you're here too. If you've been passing Chaldon Road recently, you'll be excited to see what is going on there. In a few months' time, this will be the foyer to our new church building. We'll be sipping teas and coffees in there afterwards instead of in here. It's great to see the scaffolding coming down and being able to see the building revealed underneath. And this has been a prayer project, hasn't it, for many years. For some of us, it's been all of our lifetime. For some of us, a big chunk of our life. And it is wonderful to see this tool being finished. A place where we pray the name of Jesus would be shared across this town. And this is from the Heath Road side. And that's going to be our main meeting room. And we can see the windows there will be sports through the weeks and all sorts of events, and then our Sunday meetings there. Do just pedal past if you've got a minute spare in the day, and just go and have a look at what is happening there. It's very exciting to see it coming together. There are teams. This room is full of teams, and there's one team who are thinking about the plants that are going to go outside of the building. That's really important. There are others who are planning the cafe and what sort of floor is going to be in there and details like that. There's a group who are planning the 20s space, and it was exciting to see them getting together a few days ago with the space marked out in a garden, then sharing a meal. And the 20s, just really talking about how do they want to use this space so that they can reach their friends with the message of Jesus in our town. So we pray on for all these different elements of our church family and the way that we're going to use this building. Because it's not about a building. We're not really interested in infrastructure for the sake of buildings, but we're interested in using this as a tool, a roof over a space where we can tell people about Jesus and invite friends in to hear about his love, the kind of love we've just been singing about. Now, there is a new initiative happening today. This is a painting by Lucas, and he's made some cards. And some, if you would like to buy these little cards, then all of that money is also going towards the church building. I think there's about 50 available, and they're £2 each. So head to the back and see Lucas if you would like to pick up some of those. We'll have the lights back on because we want to see our guests, who aren't really guests, though, our interviewees who are about to arrive here on the stage. You know how we pray for the right team to serve along with us. We're all serving here in this church, but God does call some particular individuals to leave their normal daytime jobs and to invest full-time into the work among us in the church. And I just want to invite Dan up to join me here. Dan, welcome. Dan, you are a dear friend of so many of us here. God has blessed many of us through you. And but maybe some of us are just here for the first time. And one of the elements of last year, Dan, and the year before, was this thing we called Cornhill. So for any of us visiting, could you tell us what that is and what it's about?
Yeah, so last year, or over the last 2 years, I've been in Cornhill, which is on Borough High Street in London by Borough Market. So it's good lunch food there, quite pricey, so I didn't go there for too long. But Cornhill is all about training up men and women to faithfully handle God's word, to preach it in small groups, in youth work, on Sunday services, maybe in your workplace. Just be able to have tools to be able to share God's word. So it's a great course. It mainly involves sitting in lectures, in seminars, and hearing great people speak to us.
It's brilliant because you've been able to serve among us and study, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I think we've all really, those of us who've been here, have really been blessed through your involvement with them. And at the end of the summer term, we prayed for you as you finished that course and gave thanks for those 2 years. How would you describe these first years of serving with us here at Oak Hall Church?
Great. No, it's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, sort of the great thing about being here at Oak Hall is that we are one massive family.
Yeah.
And just be able to serve alongside each other and to share this amazing news, this life-transforming news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's just an utter privilege. So it's been busy. I mean, we're a church that just loves to put on events. So it's been constant things to sort of prepare and plan for, and a thriving youth work. So yeah, it's been busy, but it's been so, so great. Yeah.
Dan, yes. We as a leadership team and as a church family, we're thrilled that you are continuing to serve with us. And we are referring to your role as ministry assistant. We're all ministering to each other, and we're all helping each other. We'll be praying for you as you continue to preach and as you continue to lead among us. But could you tell us what specific ways, you know, we as a church family could be praying for you as you continue?
Yeah. So I appreciate all of your prayers. I know that some of you have been praying since the day I was born here at Oak Hall. So I thank you all to you for your prayers. I've sensed that sort of right throughout my life. But especially now, before I went on my holiday, I was finishing on Ephesians 6, and we were looking at that enemy that is so real, and he is real, and he's at work here in this church, and he's seeking to sort of distract us and lead us off the path that we are following Jesus, and that enemy's real, and he's powerful, and just prayer for protection as we pray for one another against that. But I would so value your prayers that the enemy doesn't get a foothold, that he doesn't distract, that my eyes would be continually on Jesus, the one who directs and leads us. So that would be a great prayer.
We'll be praying, and in a moment we want to we're going to invite all of the leadership team, the eldership team, to come up here, and they're going to just stand and put their hands on you and pray as you move into this new phase of serving with us. One of the things we've been praying for, so that Dan could be released into this role, would be that somebody could come and serve with us to lead the youth work. And it's been something we've been praying for over the last number of months. And I think one of the major ways that we as a church family see God's gracious hand on us as a church is that the way that he provides the team and gifts those among us to allow the work to continue. As we've already said, we're all serving. We're all priests, in inverted commas, as we serve each other. But we do pray in people to serve alongside us in these different areas. We've been praising God and just receiving the blessing of Phil and Liz over these last years. What a wonderful answer to prayer that they hear. And Dan, of course, now we're praising God. But recently, and we've been praying for somebody to take up the role of youth work leadership. And as Josh has gone to serve wonderfully with the Christian Medical Fellowship, he's still here with us, still teaching, still enthusing along with us. But we've been needing somebody to come and help with that area. And you will have heard and would have just caught a glimpse of James as at the end of the summer term. And now he's going to come and join us. And we want to really just hear a bit more from James. So welcome up on stage. Try and squash you fellas on these chairs. Yeah, great. 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 Thanks, James. Brilliant. James, we're absolutely delighted that you're here this morning for the story of God's hand on you that's brought you to this moment to be serving with us in the youth work. Could you just tell us a bit more about yourself? Where are you from in the country?
So I grew up in Yeovil in Somerset, so down southwest, about 3 hours from here. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen your family in the summer?
I literally just got back yesterday, so I was there for about a week, seeing them, which is
great,
lovely.
Great. Oh, that's brilliant. We hope to meet them at some point. That would be special. Apart from your week visiting Yeovil, and what were you doing kind of more broadly before you came to join us here this morning?
So the last year I've been studying at Oak Hall at the Manor, doing the Oak Hall year, the gap year. So I've been studying there, serving there, going on trips. The summer I was took a group to Italy and preached in France on two trips, which is amazing. Amazing to see God moving in those trips as well. So it's just been a whole year full of Oak Hall Manor, and now the next chapter is Oak Hall Church.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Well, a number of us will have seen your name on those prayer diaries because we pray through those, and many of us. And James Callahan would have prayed for you, but now we can see your face. Well, how do you feel about serving with us in this way here, taking the youth work and leading that?
Really excited. Really excited to get started. It's just so I feel so welcome here. It's the most welcoming church I've been to. Just everyone wants to say hello and get to know me and talk, and that's so encouraging. I'm really looking forward to starting work.
Oh, we praise God that he's brought you here. And of course, we're building that big area for us to be serving in and reaching our friends through. But also, there's a couple of small windows that are up in the top of the building. And that's going to be James and Dan's pad, actually. We're going to say, we'll meet round yours on Sunday mornings, if that's all right. Great.
Fresh coffee is on us.
Oh, lovely. Thanks. Well, how can we be supporting you, James, as you begin to be serving in this role?
I think prayer is going to be amazing. Just pray for me to build a relationship with you guys. I want to get to know you. Know you. And I think, obviously, new church, new place, new town, new job. It's all a bit new. So it's just to pray that I would get to know you and get to know the youth.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, we look forward to that. Well, we We're going to, in a moment, invite all of the eldership team to come up onto here, onto this platform. And we're going to pray, and we're going to put our hands on them. You know, just physically, just put our hand on them like this. Because we want to show our unity with these dear men. And it's our way of saying, look, we're standing with you as you take on this responsibility. We're delegating responsibility to them, saying, look, as you serve, we're serving together. And brothers and sisters, shoulder to shoulder, we identify with them and trust that God is going to be working through them among us as we as a church family and press forward into these weeks and months and years ahead, praying for God's blessing, God's power to be at work among us. So I invite the leadership team to come. We'll slide our chairs forward a little bit. That's it. So we've got some room to, and you guys can stay seated there. That's wonderful. Great. Now, of course, we have a big leadership team here because not only do we have the team we call the elders, we have small group leaders and teachers in Sunday schools, and all sorts of us are involved in leading different areas. This is just a few of us, the eldership team. We'll take the microphone, and maybe two or three of us will just lead us in prayer. Phil, would you like to begin? That would be wonderful. Let's pray.
Father God, it is a blessing and a privilege to set aside these two young men to serve our Saviour Jesus Christ full time, to give their lives to your church family, so that they might set an example for us in love, in life, in speech, in holiness. Father God, would you empower them to do that? Would you give them an anointing by your Holy Spirit to lead? And to preach, and to change us through their ministry. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way you've led us as a church over so many years. We give you all the glory and praise this morning that you've called Dan and James into your service with us. And we commit them to you. But we pray for ourselves as well, that we'll always be encouraging and supportive. And as far as prayer is concerned, may they be sure that we're right with them. Lord, we ask that you'll give them every blessing that's needed to be able to serve effectively. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we give you praise and worship for your goodness to all of us as a church family here, and for raising up Dan and James to come and serve, continue to serve here with us in the coming months and years. Lord, you fill them with your Spirit so they would know your leading and guidance in all that they do. Help James in particular to settle well here, get to know the people of this church, the young people especially, and forge good relationships with them, and take the youth work and ministry here to new heights, and that we'll be seeing a group of young people loving you more and more, and giving their lives to you and serving you wherever you call them. Help Dan too as he continues to work with us, and would you lead them both in the future so that they would follow your will and your heart for them. Fill them with a joy in their work, a delight to be set apart for the service. Help them to fight sin, to fight the temptations and battles of life, and that they would live in ways that honor and please you and are a blessing to all of us here as a church family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for your gracious hand upon us as we continue as a church. And we just commit these dear brothers into your hands. We pray, Lord, that you would move among us and we would see many people coming to know you, kneel at that cross, put their lives in your hands as we continue together. We worship you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Well, please come and chat to them over our teas and coffees. We praise God for them both and continue to pray for them as this begins. Thank you. Could you help me move this back? In a moment, we're going to sing together a song that is a shout of thanks, really. It's a beautiful song. It says, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. His love lasts forever. This is a song that has been echoing through history. A God who is faithful, strong, with those who call on his name. Let's stand together to sing this song.
Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand,
with a mighty hand.
Stand here this morning. We thank you for that love that endures forever, a love that was proven and shown as you gave your life on a cross for us. And as the younger people head out for their special events now, and as those of us who stay in this room, we pray together that you would move among us, that you would show us yourself by the power of your Spirit. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's take a seat together, and the younger folks are heading out for their special events. They're going to tell us all about it when they get back in a few minutes' time. Thanks. Sorry? It's all right. Switch to this one now. Okay. Great. Well, we often say that it's a wonderful thing when... are you good? We often say it's a wonderful thing when most of the church leaves because the children and the teenagers, I think about half of us, have headed out there. And this really is such an important element of the work among us. And as well as praying for those who are here, we want to pray for those who serve in this strategic way of working among the children, that the children will grow up hearing about the grace of God, the grace, loving kindness that has changed so many of our lives here this morning. We're very pleased to welcome Jeff and Pat here this morning. We pray for them regularly. And this Tuesday we have a prayer meeting where we'll be praying for them again. And we've got a short video for us that just tells us a little of what they are doing. And this video is about 3 minutes long. It just gives us an insight to the work as it continues. We have opportunities to give any time through the church to the work of Christos. But this week, when we take our offering in a few minutes' time, this is particularly for the work of Christos as it continues. So let's listen as we have a little more.
Here at Christos, we have two areas of focus: a Bible college and a home for boys in need. Christos is about giving opportunities to some of the most disadvantaged children and young people in Thailand. It's about empowerment. Karen villages up in the mountains look idyllic. The reality is children and young people growing up in poverty with little access to education. The boys' home gives these young people access to education and vocational training that brings them sustainable employment. Some go on to university, specializing in agriculture and law. Others become electricians. The Bible College isn't only about Bible. We teach agricultural techniques and life skills that the women and men take back to their villages as pastors, children's workers, and evangelists.
The aim of Christos Bible College is to train young adults in their study of the Word of God. Each morning, after devotions and essential chores, the students are taught the Bible for several hours. In the first year, we ensure every student grows in proficiency in reading and understanding their own written Karen language. During their time in college, students are taken systematically through the Bible to prepare them for servant leadership in the village churches. They also choose to specialise in music, drama, counselling or children's work to equip them for the diverse needs they will meet in their future ministry. Every year, the fourth year students are commissioned for their 6-month internships in villages across the region. A bilingual Karen English New Testament has been produced in response to the need of Karen living in Western countries.
The Karen villages in the mountains are being transformed. New hope, new skills, new opportunities. Partner with us, and we'll partner with you to bring this good news across the ranges.
So this is a little introduction to Christos. Some of us have been partnering with them for many years. Some of us have been out to visit. And really the heart of it is that young people would know Jesus and share him in the places that they're going to. So Jeff and Pat, very warm welcome. And we're looking forward to hearing more from you on Tuesday at the prayer meeting. We're going to pray for them in a moment. And then after that, we're going to sing two songs that speak of God's changing our heart. But let's pray for Jeff and Pat and also for the children as their morning continues. Lord, we want to thank you for this great love of yours that has changed our lives. People who should be distant and cut off, drawn into the Father's embrace because of the Lord Jesus's love and his sacrifice on that cross, his resurrection from the dead. And we thank you that this message is changing lives across the world. We pray that this morning it would be changing our lives. We pray this morning it would be changing the lives of the children who are hearing those carefully prepared talks and activities that the Young People's Church have been preparing for today. And Lord, we pray too that as Jeff and Pat travel around the UK over these next days, share with us on Tuesday evening, and then return back. Lord, we pray that among those Karen villages, the message of your life-changing love would be going out with a real clarity, and that there would be many who meet you. Lord, please mobilize your church and mobilize your people to be boldly proclaiming your love wherever it is that you have placed us. As we continue this morning, we pray that you would be opening our hearts, that we would see you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Amen. Let's stand to sing. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Together this morning, this is our prayer, that we would see you, Lord Jesus, high and lifted up, that you would speak to each of us. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Let us have open and changeable hearts as we come to your word together. Amen. Let's take a seat for a moment. We're going to sing one more song before Phil speaks to us. But in this attitude of worship and open hearts, responsive hearts, let's listen to the reading for this morning. It's 1 Kings and chapter 17. 1 Kings and chapter 17. If you'd like a church Bible, there may be one or two left. If you find it hard to find books in the Bible, you can just turn to the front. There's that index there. That's not embarrassing to do that. So just turn there. And then 1 Kings is just about 12 or so books in. 1 Kings. And you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me read this to us. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not go dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." We're going to sing a prayer. This prayer says, "Change my heart. O God, make it ever true. You are the potter, I am the clay." We'll stay seated to sing this prayer together. Change
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Change my heart.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Phil comes to speak to us now. Lord, please speak through your word, through Phil, to us. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much.
Well, this morning we're going to be starting a short series in 1 Kings chapters 17 to 19. Now, the main character of these chapters is a prophet called Elijah. And these chapters follow the part of his ministry when he's used by God to bring Israel, God's people, back into a relationship with God by bringing God's word to them. That's his work. And my hope for us, actually, as we go through this whole series, my hope is simply this, that we will grow to understand and trust God's powerful word more and more and be convinced that the biblical way of shaping church and us as individuals is by bringing ourselves and our church under the authority of God's word so that we love him more, we know him more, that relationship with him grows and thrills us. That's my hope as we read these chapters. But at the same time, in God's timing, well, I think it's a blessing that we can look at these chapters this morning, because Dan and James, your task is ultimately to preach God's word to us and to our young people. And that's a weighty task, because preaching God's word brings spiritual life. And we'll see that in this passage. Preaching God's word brings spiritual life. And therefore, guys, it's a privilege to be called into that work full time. And an amazing responsibility. And these chapters are also relevant to us, because they're about the power of God's word in us as individuals. And the challenge for us as individuals is to come under the authority of God's word. Because by doing so, we will know spiritual life. That's the relevance. And we're going to look at that this morning. So the original readers of this book, and listen, as we're reading through these chapters, as we come to church over the next few Sundays, and as we look at these chapters together, please imagine yourselves as the original reader. You're in exile. You've been kicked out of your country because your country basically just went to the dogs, and God judged you for it. And so you're sat in a foreign country looking at this letter, and you're looking at, why is it that your country went to the dogs in the first place, and why is it that God judged your country so that you guys are in exile? Okay, so put yourself into that kind of framework. You're deeply sad, you're deeply homesick, and you just want to know what went wrong. Well, this is the answer. It happened about 300... The purpose of the book is stated in 2 Kings 17. If you can turn with me to those verses, 2 Kings 17, verse 13, this is what it says. The Lord warned Israel, 2 Kings 17, 13, the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I have commanded your fathers to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants, the prophets. But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he'd made with their fathers and the warnings that he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. There's the direction of those who do not live under God's word. So the book of Kings was written to just suss out what went wrong, to make us see what happens when you don't come under the authority of God's word. And these are real events in this passage. They're not just sucked out of somebody's thumb and this is a moral story I'm going to tell you. These are real events. It's history we're talking about. And therefore, as historical readers, we can put ourselves there and read historically what went wrong. Because God is real and he works in history. And we are real. We can see history being outworked by our God who works in history. We put ourselves there and we can feel the disappointment, the ache, the what went wrongness of these passage, of these verses. So Elijah is a prophet in this passage. And he's a prophet of God's word. And therefore, symbolically, whenever you see the prophet Elijah, you've got to think also God's word. So he's not just a bloke running around in a toga. He's actually God's word. Do you get it? That's quite powerful, I think, as you'll see. So let's look at our first point this morning. When God's word is absent, repent. When God's word is absent, repent. So 50 years before the events of our passage, the kingdom of Israel split into two parts after the great King Solomon died. The southern part was called Judah. They were loyal to Solomon's descendants. The northern parts were rebels, and they rejected the kingship of Solomon's descendants. So chapters 15 and 16 of 1 Kings records how this northern kingdom, who called themselves Israel, just funnily, just work that, Israel and Judah, well, they found themselves committing more and more evil. On the outside, though, actually everything looked wonderful. They were rich, they were prosperous. Omri, their great king, had extended the boundaries geographically and was raking it in. In the 50 years since the split of Israel, actually, this is a sad thing, there was also very few prophets going to the people. And we're told in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, this is what the new king, Omri's son, was like. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He was an evil man. Verse 32 tells us he set up altars to false gods, and it tells us that he married a woman who hated God as well, Jezebel. We'll see her later. As verse 33 says, he did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. He was an evil man. So the historical context is it's a prosperous nation. You just wanted to be part of Israel. It was cool. It was trendy. It was groovy. That was Israel. But spiritually, it was a dark place to be. And into the middle of this situation, God speaks. Isn't that gracious? God speaks. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab the king, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew or rain in the next few years except at my word. So he kind of bursts onto the scene, into the narrative, and tells them that God will bring a physical drought as God's judgment on them because they had rejected his ways. And you know, that is a good thing. You can't just say, oh, God is just being very vindictive here. That's not very fair. That's not the situation. Actually, God is saying, I care for you, therefore I'm going to slap you till you come to your senses. The direction of God's discipline is always towards restoration. Well, nearly always towards restoration. There are a couple of instances in the Bible where it's not, but most of the time it's towards restoration. Come on, guys, wake up. Look at what you are like spiritually and repent. So God's word, do you see that? Elijah comes. God's word brings a physical drought to help them understand the spiritual drought. Because verse 1 tells us the people had forgotten the voice of God. And how is that illustrated? Well, not only does God withdraw rain from the land, he also withdraws his prophet. Wow, the word of God bursts onto the scene. You're going to be judged. And then the word of God leaves. Look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook as I have ordered the rain, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. God sends Elijah to the Kerith ravine, and there God provides food for him and water for him. And it's a picture of what is happening to Israel. The point of sending Elijah to the Kerith ravine was to show the people of God and the reader as well, that's us, that what was that wherever his word went, well, there's physical blessing of rain and provision too. That's why Elijah was told to go to the desert place, where what happened to him symbolically was the opposite of what was happening to Israel. So while Israel was slowly starving under God's judgment for their spiritual waywardness, God was providing for his prophet, because where the word of the Lord is, there is blessing, spiritual blessing. The picture of God's word bringing life wherever it goes and the absence of it bringing drought must be applied to each of us individually this morning. So let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being spiritually dry, 10 being spiritually close to God, where would you say you are spiritually right now? I don't know where you are on that scale, but if you're at 1, 2, or 3, it's a slap in the face. If you're feeling spiritually dry, parched, where are you, God? If you're blaming God for your circumstances, that's a slap in the face. Perhaps now is the time to look at ourselves honestly and ask difficult questions. Do our souls feel parched? Is time with Jesus falling down the list of priorities? It might be that we're caught in a grip of a number of idolatries. But listen to the word of the Lord. Because in our condition of spiritual drought, there is hope. Because when spiritual drought hits us, it's often because God the Holy Spirit wants us to walk closely with our God in prayer and in meditation on his word. It often means that, like Israel in this chapter, God's allowing us to wallow in our muck till we recognize it for what it is and cry out to him, Lord God, send me rain. When God's word is absent, repent. The second point is, when God's life-giving word is present, well, trust. In God's timing, the brook dries up, and God sends Elijah to Gentile territory outside the border of Israel to help the reader get their heads around another lesson. So Zarephath is the heart of Baal worship land, and there we find that God has chosen a woman and prepared her to listen to God's word. So look at verse 10. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? This is a faith test. That's what's going on here. It's a faith test. She's asked to share water with the prophet of God in the middle of a desperate drought that Elijah's God has caused. But what's her reaction? What's she going to say to that? Oh, go away. There's not enough water for me and my son. How can I give you a drink? No. Look, she just goes and gets it, verse 11. As she was going to get it, she just does what the prophet asks. But then he stretches it a bit, doesn't he? He doesn't just ask for water. He called out, oh, and bring me a piece of bread. Like stretching her like an elastic band. Her patience, her faith. And the drama grows. He's asking for bread and water. And she just is about to die. And she turns, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. She totally just spills the beans. This is our situation. Your God has put me in. But she's talking real with Elijah. For the first time, we have someone talking real with Elijah. She's talking theology. Elijah's God lives, and he's brought this prospect of death upon her. She knows that, and because of God, she and her son are facing death. And the question is, how can life come out of God's judgment? And Elijah responds with a word of the Lord that challenges her to enter into a relationship with God. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me and what you have, from what you have, and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord, until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Can you see that invitation? It's the invitation to trust that the word of the Lord will provide. To trust in the word of the Lord. And it's Elijah's claim that the word of the Lord will sustain her. His promise is that his God will keep her safe in the middle of this judgment. Do you see that? God will keep her safe in the middle of this judgment. In a similar way, it might be that you're in this woman's situation spiritually. It might be that you've sat in church week after week listening to the claims of Jesus in the New Testament and listening to his invitation to follow him. It might be that this is the first sermon you've ever heard that treats the Bible like it's God's word. But the invitation of the word of God that went to that woman is the same today. The challenge is that as you hear God's word, will you trust in God's word and God's word alone to sustain? Will you trust the word of God that promises to give you life? This woman does. Look at verse 15. It's a phenomenal verse. Look at it with me. Verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah told her. Bang, there it is. She went away and did as Elijah told her. She didn't just kind of say, well, salvation has come to our house. That's amazing. Wow, I'm so, so chuffed with that. That makes me really thrilled. God has brought salvation here. Whoa, high fives, everybody all around. Yeah. No. She does what God's word told her to do. So her faith, her salvation is outworked in her actions. And it is a bit of a harsh exchange, isn't it? You look at it on the surface. This is a harsh exchange. What Elijah says is uncompromising. You do stuff first for me, God's word, and life will come. There's no haggling, there's no tit for tat. There's simply, this is how you can enter into God's promises by doing exactly as the word of the Lord says. Effectively, the logic is this. If you want to know the blessings of the word of the Lord, then you obey it. God is not a genie in a lamp that you rub nicely and just get to answer every whim. God is not a genie that you blame for difficulties that you're going through. God is not someone who will just run around after you. If you want to know the blessings of the word of the Lord, then you obey it.
The demands of God is that you listen to his word and do God's way. That's just how it is. And true faith, honestly, true faith is not just praising God for his salvation, but it's working out that salvation in our lives day after day. It's putting ourselves under the authority of his word, just like this woman did. And she went away and did what Elijah told her to do. She listened. And perhaps this morning that's what we need to do. As we've evaluated where we are spiritually, actually evaluate whether we are or not coming under the authority of God's word. Whether as we're reading it, we're saying, I need to listen and obey like this woman. I need to repent of fundamental things like this woman. Micah 6 verse 8. Oh, it's a wonderful verse. Memorize it if you can. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness. In other words, listen to God's word and obey it. And walk humbly with our God. It's that holding God's hand in relationship with him and walking with him humbly under his word, not over it. Listening to this word this morning and working it out. That's what God requires of us. When God's life-giving word is present, trust. And this is the last thing that this verse says. Having trusted God's word, hope. Just when you think this chapter draws to a happy conclusion, well, the narrative turns dramatically, doesn't it? Look at verse 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. It's difficult to explain God's ways. I think we can honestly say we don't know why this happens, but the Bible tells us that it does, however hard it is to accept. The boy died, the woman cried out, Elijah prayed. But the text shows us that there's still one more spiritual lesson that this woman needs to learn. You see, there's a glimpse of legalism here. Just a chink of legalism. She's still tying the health and wealth of her situation to her sin. So her immediate response to her son's death is that it's because of her sin. Look at verse 18. Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? That's what she says. It's her logical conclusion. She's saying, is it because my goodness standards have slipped that I've lost God's blessing and received God's judgment? That's her thinking. And Elijah says that's not how God works. And he knows it, and it forces him to his knees. And he takes the boy to his room and prays for him. And as we've seen a lot in this chapter, his actions are symbolic of what he's asking for. So here he places himself on the boy, and in doing so, he symbolizes his prayer. As God's word that brings spiritual life rests in Elijah, so he says, may that same life come to this boy. So that out of death may life come. Just like God's word made it happen in the beginning. That's his prayer. And there's a lot at stake here. The faith of the widow is at stake. Spiritual life is at stake. The boy's life is at stake. And God works graciously. Look at verse 22. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. And look at what the woman says in verse 24. Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. It's the greatest declaration of trust in God's word. Because she knows God's word brings eternal life. And it's here that she believes the power of God's word will bring life out of death. And her thinking goes like this: God's word is truth. And God's word to her was showing her his power even over death. And therefore, if God's word can raise the dead now, then to trust God's word is to trust him for eternity, even in life after death. That's where she's going with this. And for us this morning, do you believe in the God who can bring spiritual life out of physical death? That's our question. And follow it for a second. Just follow the thinking. 700 years after the events in this chapter, on a hillside out of Jerusalem, 3 days after he was killed, we see God's power in Jesus to bring spiritual life out of physical death. And the same truth rings out. God's word is power to raise us up for eternity if we believe in him and trust in him and his power to do it. Will you believe and trust in the God who brings spiritual life out of physical death? Well, Jesus, in his resurrection, challenges us to do that. But as we finish, it's important for us to apply this today. And the whole holistic message of this passage today, and particularly for James and Dan. Because you guys are appointed by God this morning to handle the word of God well. So that God's people this morning and here in this town, in this area, might not starve, but know eternal life. Because where the word of God is preached and handled well, there is spiritual life. So James, you're not appointed as a young person's entertainer. You've been given the role of youth minister to grow spiritual fruit in the lives of young people and in the lives of young people's leaders. How do you do that? By teaching them the word of God. Dan, you're not a church assistant, you are a ministry assistant, which means you are here in recognition that God has given you the gift of preaching and teaching the word of God. So that by the preaching and teaching of the word of God, this church can grow. And therefore, I charge us. God's word charges us to pray daily for Dan and James, so that as they seek to speak the word of God to us as a congregation, they might do so faithfully. Pray that they would handle the Bible well, so it's not their words that they speak, but God's word, so that God's word might be heard. So more and more amongst our young people and in our community, spiritual life might flourish. And pray for ourselves too, that actually we come under God's word. Oh, we see that with this woman. She came under God's word and did what Elijah commanded her to do, and she lived. Spiritual life flourished. Are we convinced, absolutely convinced, the same can be said of us? Are we totally, totally bought into that spiritual truth? Where God's word is preached faithfully, their spiritual life will grow. If not, then can I ask you, can I plead with you to put yourself under the word of God? To break whatever it is in you, whatever stubbornness or whatever hurt you've experienced that prevents you from doing that, whatever it is, break it and say to God, may your word speak into my heart that I might spiritually flourish too, just like this woman. Because that's the only way that will happen in our lives and in our community. Dan and James, there will be days when you want to desperately say something that the passage you're preaching on doesn't say. There will be days when you've heard a great illustration and you really, really want to use it, but it doesn't quite fit. Resist the temptation. Resist the temptation to draw attention to yourselves. Resist the temptation to use the Bible to support your ideas. And first and foremost, put yourselves under the authority of God's word. And that practically means preach to yourselves first in your study. So that as you come to share that, you're sharing what God has preached to you first. and everybody can see you're listening to the word of God. Oh, it's something that we might pray for this morning, isn't it? For us individually, for Dan and James, this is critical. This is so critical. Where the word of God is preached, there you will find spiritual life. So let's listen to God's word. Let's put ourselves under his word as our highest authority. Let's hope for that eternal life that it brings. In other words, let's be confident in that eternal life. God's word preached into us says, you will live forever in pleasure and joy of God's presence. That's a certainty if we come under God's word. So perhaps now on this day, as we commission Dan and James, as we start a new academic year, well, let's take the opportunity to repent. I love the Bible because it's forever saying, guys, you know, we're a bunch of sinners. We're a bunch of wretched sinners. We're forever going to need to repent. So let's just make that a habit and not have to be dragged before the throne of God and forced to confess. Let's just do it as out of habit because we are wretched. If we're at spiritually parched, just man up and confess. You don't have to beat yourself up. Just say, Lord God, I am just so thirsty for your word. Please help me to read it and apply it to my heart and talk to you about it so I might experience the blessing of it, the spiritual life that it brings. Perhaps we just need to reorganize our priorities. Let's do that this morning. If it means setting your alarm clock 10 minutes earlier, do it. 15 if you need 5 minutes to make a coffee. Whatever it takes, do it. So that God's word, his voice in our lives, might be known in us. That spiritual life might grow. Not just in us, but through us once more. Let's take the time, just a minute now, to ask that question, where am I spiritually? Dear Father God, we praise you and worship you that where your word is proclaimed, where it is heard, where it is applied and obeyed, there is spiritual life. And we confess, Lord God, the natural bent of our hearts is away from your word and towards ourselves as our own authority, and we're sorry. Lord, we're sorry we treat you like a genie in a lamp. And not as the God of the universe that you are. And we confess, Lord God, that we, of all things right now, need your word. Lord, sin is so prevalent in our lives. And your word is stronger. We ask, Lord God, that you would fill us with your word. That you would change our hearts, that we would listen and obey, and see spiritual life. Oh Lord God, we thank you for the promise of this passage, that one day eternal life will be given to those who listen to your word. That spiritual life comes out of physical death, and the ultimate revelation of that is Jesus Christ on the cross. So Father God, as we trust in him, may we know spiritual life. May we know the certainty of eternity. May we know the joy that comes through knowing the word of God, Jesus Christ. And more, Lord God, may we know him daily. May we love him more and more daily. May we follow him and obey him according to your word. Lord, change us, we pray. We all need your changing. Change us, we pray, by your word, for your glory, that we might know spiritual life more and more and more. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're going to close with a song together that speaks again of the Lord Jesus before the throne of God. And as we sing this song, this is our opportunity to be also making a gift if we would like to. If you're regularly a part of this meeting here, a gift towards the work of Christos there in Thailand. Let's stand to sing this of our great high priest whose name is love. Before the throne of God, I stand. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. Let's stand together. Yeah.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory.
Jesus, we pray that we would repent and come under the power of your word and live in obedience to you, that life would come. We thank you for your word to us this morning, and we commit each other into your loving and powerful hands. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take a seat. Please talk to Phil if you want to about the things we've heard this morning. Please chat to Dan and to James and encourage them as they continue among us. Talk to Jeff and Pat as they're visiting this morning. Let's enjoy continuing our time together in conversation now. Thank you.